setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. So thrilled to have you. You matter because you were created to fill a unique role. That means you are needed, and it means you must do it. Somebody out there needs you to be you. And so here on the Ken Coleman Show, we're all about helping you get the clarity on who you are so that you can figure out where you want to go and how you're going to get there. The dream job is available. In fact, in your sweet spot, at the intersection of what you do best and what you love to do most, there are multiple jobs, multiple career paths for you to achieve that significance by doing work that A, you're good at, B, you love to do, and C, creates results that matter to your heart. That's how you show up on Monday morning with some juice. And 70% of Americans, sadly, dread their job so much that they hate it. And we're not cool with that here. Not when we know that there's a path and that there is a purpose for you. So let's get about doing that, shall we? We're not a political talk show. We're a purposeful talk show. So spread the word. Hope is here. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Is this right? Are we going to Santa Claus, Indiana, where Jacob is on the line? Jacob, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Happy to. How do I not take a call from Santa Claus, Indiana? This is very special.
You like that, huh?
I think it's really cool. How can I help?
Ken, I'm fixing to walk into the interview for my dream job.
What?
Thanks to you using the proximity principle.
Are you telling me like right now, like you're about ready to walk into the interview for your dream job?
In about an hour and a half.
This is very exciting.
Final interview.
This is exciting. I feel like I'm about ready to run through the tunnel of a football field and I'm going to hit some. That's how fired up I am for you. What's going on? How can I help?
Well, Ken, I just basically following all your principles, using the resume you gave and using the proximity principle, it actually got me in the position where I'm at now. So I just want to say thank you for that, first off. But where I'm at now is I just want to make sure that I leave the best impression and to make sure that I do everything in my power to make sure I can get that for sure, yes. And I was just kind of wondering if you had any final advice before I went into this final interview.
Yeah, I want you to not worry about how good your answers are in that interview. I don't want you, because you've done the prep. You've prepared. You've read my How to Win the Interview guide. And so you've prepared. You know what questions you're going to ask when it's your turn to talk. So I don't want you to worry about saying it perfectly. I want you to get outside of your head. And when you walk in there, I want you to be so overwhelmed with gratitude that you got a shot. Final interview. You've made it this far. And this is your shot to get your dream job. And I want you to focus on your heart. Because I think a person that's full of gratitude, that's full of humility, that you're so humbly thankful to be there to get this shot, that's going to come out of every pore of your skin. And I think you got to do your best to not think your way through that interview, but feel your way through it and just share your heart. Start right out of the gate with overwhelming gratitude for the opportunity to get this chance. Humility to be a part of a team and a role that does work, that matters so deeply to you, and share your heart. Tell them why you want this and let your heart answer the question, not your head. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, Ken.
Then let them see that. I think so few people go into an interview and truly let their heart lead. And what happens is when we stay in our head, it affects our performance, makes us look just tentative, nervous, whatever. And the nerves are going to be there. Notice I didn't say anything about calming your nerves. You're not going to be able to do that per se because it's just a big deal. But I like the nerves. But the nerves keep you sharp mentally, but lead with your heart. I think you do that, Jacob, you're going to be great. So I'm proud of you. Thank you for calling in an hour and a half before the interview. This is what it's about. I'm so fired up for Jacob. I wish I could go to Santa Claus, Indiana, and be standing in the parking lot when he walks out. You know what I mean? And give him a big bear hug and say, way to go, because it's a big deal, folks, that Jacob is in this moment. He's done what he needs to do. And so, Jacob, I'm rooting for you. I want to hear back from you. I don't even mind putting you on the show tomorrow or whatever it is. Let's do this. So, Madison, please tell Jacob that when he gets this thing, that he needs to call back in and tell us how the interview went, and we're going to celebrate him and go bananas. We're going to go bananas. 844-747-2577. Okay, I've got to share this article, folks. I don't want to be the smug radio host that says I told you so, so I'm not going to say I told you so. But I've been telling you there's a perfect storm coming in America, and it looks like around the world now, where the high price of college education and the desire for people to not feel like they got to go to college anymore because they see a better path, it's coming to a perfect storm. Listen to this. This from CNBC, entitled Why College Education Might Not Be Critical for Your Career. John Fallon, CEO of an education company called Pearson, was on CNBC's Street Signs Europe. And he said that the shifting career expectations and longer life expectancies are reducing the importance of receiving a college education. This is what he said. If you're an 18-year-old leaving high school this year, there's a more than 50% chance you will live to be over 100. That means you're going to be working well into your 70s or 80s. And you might move through five or six different careers. And by the way, that meets my methodology where there might be five or six careers in your sweet spot, as long as you're using what you do best to do what you love to do most. He said, so the idea that what you learn in high school and then learn in university between the ages of 20 and 22 is going to define you for life, that doesn't exist anymore, because you're going to have to relearn, reskill, and retrain throughout your working life. And these high school kids are saying they don't want to spend a fortune on higher education only to find out it's not relevant. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. The young people are starting to figure it out, mom and dad. The National Student Clearinghouse Research Center statistics show that post-secondary education enrollments in the United States saw a year-over-year decrease of 1.7%. And that enrollments at four-year public and private institutions declined from the previous year. How about across the pond? A poll of nearly 3,000 British school pupils said that 20% of them up to the age of 16 didn't think it was important to go to university. And market research firm Ipsos Mori found that young people felt knowing the right people was more important than getting a degree. I think there's a best-selling book called The Proximity Principle that says that. This is The Ken Coleman Show. I talk a lot about discovering your talent and passion to find your dream job. And that's exactly what my friends at Burst have done. Hamish was passionate about toothbrushes, and Brittany was a successful entrepreneur. Together, they built a business that has revolutionized oral care. The Burst Sonic Electric Toothbrush is clinically proven to remove up to 10 times more plaque than a manual toothbrush. See what a simple dream can become. Try a Burst brush today for as little as $49.99. Go to burstoralcare.com and use the code KEN to get special pricing. Every day, reminding you that you do have what it takes, that you are needed. You've got a role that was designed for you. You were created to fill it. And I'm here to help you discover what that role is. It's in your sweet spot at the intersection of what you do best and what you love to do most. And you get that clarity. Watch out, baby. A newfound confidence that you've never experienced before in your life will overtake you. And if you take those steps, no matter what life throws at you, you can retreat to that clarity. Your confidence surges back up. And that's where courage comes from. It's the combination, the fabulous cocktail of clarity and confidence. You drink from that every day. You're going to do something that matters deeply to you, and you will fill that role. And you will do work that matters to you, and you'll make plenty of money doing it. And you will look back on your life and reminisce, not regret. That's what I'm offering. Hope, clarity, significance. Join us, why don't you? 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Warren is on the line in Lexington, Kentucky. Warren, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. It's an honor to speak with you.
Well, the honor's all mine. How can I help?
So my question is about having a pretty specific short-term dream and a long-term dream and how to pursue both of those and take steps towards those at the same time.
Oh, I love this. Give it to me in detail. Short-term dream and then long-term dream.
Short-term dream is to transition into another career field called GIS, which stands for Geographic Information Systems. And I love geography and maps and data, so that's kind of where that interest comes from. And then the long-term dream is to own a wedding venue and run and operate a venue.
That's very interesting. I don't think those could be any further apart. Explain that to me. What's behind the long-term dream of owning your own wedding venue?
I just love weddings and events, and I think I would be good at kind of the business side of it. I got a business degree in school, and it seems like, you know, a high margin, good way to make money.
Great.
Doing something that's helping people.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Let's fast forward on that and get there. Are you doing that while still being in the I've never even heard this before. Geographic information systems? Are you still in that field and then you kind of own the wedding venue and you kind of oversee it, or are you full-time in the wedding venue?
I think it would be possible to do both.
I do too.
Especially since most events happen on the weekends.
Okay, great. That's what I wanted to know. Well, so what's your... So how to get into GIS? I feel so smart saying that. I have no idea. So what specifically are you unsure about getting into that field? Because you know a whole lot more about that than I do. So how can I help?
Yeah, right now I work in HRIS, so HR information systems, HR software. So I've kind of got probably the technical skill set required,
yep.
But
yep.
I need to learn the specific geographic softwares, and there's industry standards. So
great.
I started taking a class online for that.
Great. How long will that take you? How long do you think it'll take you to get that educational qualification?
It's a 6-month specialization that takes you through the whole course.
So 6 months from now, you are technically qualified. Yes?
I hope so.
Well, no. It's not I hope so. It's yes or no. Is that what the industry is saying? In order for you to be in the geographical information systems, you have to have this educational training that you're about ready to get.
Right.
So my point is,
that's
it. That's the baseline.
That 6 months. Yep.
Okay, and that's the baseline. Now it's just about connections, right?
Correct.
Okay, great. So this is so that my answer is the same for anybody. We use the proximity principle. It's why I wrote the best-selling book. But what does the proximity principle look like for you, Warren? Well, in order to do what Warren wants to do, he's got to be around people that are doing it. Do you know anybody that's actually active right now and successful in that role?
I don't, and I've done some LinkedIn research to identify the folks at different companies and agencies that are doing that.
Great.
So I would just need to reach out to them,
I guess. So now it's all about how do you reach out. So the most effective way to reach out is not send an email on LinkedIn. I don't mind you doing that, but I wouldn't rely on that. I would treat the reach out and connect on LinkedIn as just kind of a, let's just see if they return my message. But what you're doing is you're going, okay, let's look at, here's why LinkedIn is a really great resource. You know, who are some mutual connections? And of the mutual connections, how many of those people do you know on a acquaintance level? Meaning, if you saw them on the street, they'd stop and say hi to you because there's some positive past experience that you had with them, or they're a really good friend. And then outside of LinkedIn, you do the same thing. You know, you go, hey, who do I know that knows somebody that works there? And then that's the one-to-one, that's the personal stuff. But what research can you do online about, you know, are there some type of community of people that do this or that are in this field? You know, where are they hanging out online? And you begin to just get in there and make connections. Say, hey, I'm going this direction. 6 months from now, I'll have this qualification. And so I'm looking for some great advice. I'm looking for some good relationships. Who could I talk to that would be good for me to talk to kind of prepare myself to enter into this field? This is not rocket science, but that's what you've got to do.
Sure.
And so if you do that, Warren, here's what's going to happen. Those relationships will keep stacking on top of each other. And at some point, somebody's going to be able to open a door for you for an interview. And that's how we get interviews that turn into jobs, is where we use our true web of connections, like a spider web. And we've got to sometimes just sit down with a pad and pen or a pencil and just map out who do I know and start working these relationships. So that's what you need to do. And then to answer the rest of your question, as you move into the field you want to be in, that dream role, which is the short-term dream in your words, I love this. This is a dual dream. You love the geography space, and you know you've got all the tech skills. So that's great. That becomes the short-term dream that funds your future, because you're going to need some capital, as in dollars that you save up over time to then lease a space. And then maybe that leads to you buying a space where you've got a wedding venue. So you're talking about property, building plus land for this type of side business that becomes ultimately a really great dream gig. Then that's how you're going to do that. Let's go to Alice, who's on the line in Hanford, California. Alice, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
I am living the dream, Alice. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I'm applying to a job. It's a couple of states away, so it's a fair distance away. I applied to the same position a few months ago, and I was able to get a phone interview, but I did not get the job. And so I'm going to try again. And my question is, how do I best compete over the phone in an interview when I'm competing with people who are coming in to interview face-to-face?
Yeah, good question. You're going to have to really impress them with how prepared you are. And the way you show preparation is when you're answering the questions that they will ask you, you have to litter your answer with facts about the company, the product, or the services that they're known for, maybe some recent wins in the media, awards maybe that the company has gotten. You litter in those facts while answering their question, and it's going to show them, whoa, Alice has done her homework. Alice is sharp. She's prepared. She knows something about us. This isn't just a J-O-B. Second way you do that is show a lot of passion. I started off our show today with a call on this. I said, most people don't lead with their heart in an interview. Don't try to think your way through the interview. Once you prepare, you should be ready and let the nerves keep you sharp. But don't think your way through the interview. Feel your way through it. And what I mean by that specifically is share your heart, why you're passionate about what this company does, and the role that you are applying for is in your sweet spot. It allows you to use what you do best to do what you love to do most. Use those sentences I just gave you. Nobody talks that way. And you're going to stand out. Then, with my How to Win the Interview Guide, which makes sure she gets that, Madison, it's a free download at kencoleman.com. I'm going to teach you how to prepare to ask questions that will separate you from the pack when you get a chance to talk. Those three things make you stand out. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, America. The only syndicated talk show on radio in America that's helping you figure out what you were created to do. And then once you have that clarity on who I am and why I'm here, well, then we talk about where you want to take that. Yeah, what's that dream? What's that Mount Everest for you? Okay, let's identify that. Then how do we climb that mountain? That's what we do. It's all about you. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. Let's go to Michigan, where Tom is on the line in Granville, Michigan. Tom, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
So basically, I graduated from college in 2012. I've had three different jobs since then. I'm currently at one right now for about 2.5 years, just kind of feel not really liking it, and just kind of feeling a little bit lost in my kind of career situation for.
Okay, so specifically, what do we need to do today? Are you looking for total clarity? Got a good idea what your sweet spot is? Where can we help?
I'd like some clarity. I think I kind of know where I kind of want to go. I graduated with a sports management and business degree. Mm-hmm. Would like to get back into that. But I also love, different things too. It doesn't have to be in that as well. So,
well, but hold on a second. But I'm not, okay, but I'm all about clarity. But Tom, you've been listening to me, I guess, probably enough to know that I'm not about, well, I could do this or, well, yeah. I could. I'm all, listen, there are multiple jobs and career paths in your sweet spot. But let's get super clear about the thing that you pretty much feel, and I have a sense that you got a feeling what you'd really love to do. And I don't want the old, well, I could settle for this, or I could I want to know, Tom, if I gave it to you tomorrow, no strings attached, no issues with money, no qualifications, you start tomorrow and you know you're going to be successful at it, what would you want to do? Tell me.
I'd really like to get into maybe the craft beer industry or, something to do with operations for a sports team or something like that.
Okay. Well, which one? Operations for a sports team or being craft beer?
I'd say craft beer probably.
Why? Why'd you choose that one over sports?
Well, craft beer has always kind of been a little bit of a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. And I do like working with my hands, being able to think about stuff, let my mind wander a little bit. I do like that. Mm-hmm. Not having to deal with, daily stresses of staying on top of things, but going to work, getting the job done, and then going home.
Okay. Now that's great. Now we're starting to get some clarity. Do you hear how clear that was?
Yeah.
Now, what would you be doing in the craft beer industry that allows you to do what you just described, working with your hands, in the operations side of things? What would that look like day to day?
Probably, making beer would be a lot of fun. I've tried it, as kind of a hobby, and I really did enjoy it, just kind of like the science of things and, adding different ingredients and, making a product that people really enjoy.
Great. So, what now? What's next? I know the answer. I want you to tell me what you think it is.
Got to find people that are doing the same thing that I want to do.
Yeah. So. Well, what do we call that, Tom?
The proximity principle.
Yeah, man. Like, here's the deal. On the surface, you have all the talent, the raw talent and skills to pull that job off, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you do. So have you done the research to see what qualifications might be necessary for that kind of job? Have you actually gone online, looked at the postings that would allow you to do that work or something very similar, or just get in the brewery, right? We just want to get in there and then work our way up the ladder. Have you done your homework on that to see what it takes?
No, I have not.
Okay, that's step one. Homework item number one. I mean, before you lay down in bed tonight, you need to have a good idea if there's any kind of special requirements or qualifications that you need to have. That's our first thing. I don't think there's going to be, but let's say there is, then we go, okay, well, how much is it going to cost me financially and in time, my time to be able to get that qualification? That's question two. Then the third question is, based on that answer and my budget and the family rhythm, life rhythm, whatever, in my time, how long is that total thing, do I think, is that going to take? And then once we know that, that's not so scary. It's like, oh, okay, great.
Yep.
Because if I could put you in a brewery, in fact, the last brewery I went to, I got to tell you, it's fascinating. I went to a brewery in Asheville, North Carolina. And I got to tell you, it blew me away. It absolutely blew me away. I knew beer was big business. I didn't know it was that big of a deal. So if that's your jam, and I could give you that tomorrow, how would you feel going in on a Monday morning?
That'd be sweet.
All right, so you know what to do. No more bouncing job to job, Tom. Let's get a clear path, which I've given you the three questions you need to ask and answer for you to find what the path is, and then let's go do it, man.
Okay.
All right? And then I expect a call from you. When you get ready to step into that brewery, let's do a dream scream. How about that?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, then send me a case of something that you brew. All right, how about that? I think that's a fair deal. All right, very good. I love it. Good stuff. Do you like the breweries, Madison? Do you? Yeah, you're very healthy. Joe, do you like the breweries? You ever been to one of those breweries? Pretty fantastic, aren't they? All right, I'm going to see if we can get Tom to send us some stuff. And what we will do is he will do his dream scream, and then after hours we will toast Tom with the product that he has brewed for us. She wants you to go into wine, Tom. So, you know, that would still be in your sweet spot as far as I'm concerned. So we'll see how that goes. By the way, if anybody's keeping score at home, I would much rather have that wine than I would the case of the brews. So there you go. All right. Before I start groveling, shall we go back to the phones? Ryan is on the line in Dallas, Texas. Ryan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
How you doing, Ken?
Man, I'm living the dream, Ryan. How can I help?
Okay, so I'm very passionate about African history, and I would like to be able to teach that. And I just want to know, how can I go about finding a job teaching African history?
Yeah, love the specific question here. Who's teaching African history? Let's start in your zip code, right? You live near or in Dallas, Texas, big, giant metroplex. And so I think the first thing that I would tell you to do is let's make a list of the colleges and universities, including community colleges and or maybe even private schools. Some of your nicer private schools might be doing that. But who is offering African history? That's the first thing you've got to do. And so then you make a list of those schools and you go, all right, now I know there are people who teach this. And so then you have to ask yourself, what does it take to get qualified? And you know, to teach African history, certainly on the higher education level, and even at a private school or a public school, you'd have to have a degree. Do you have that?
Yes, I have a degree, but I don't have my master's. But I've been looking at schools where I can go, that offer master's in history.
Great.
And I've been doing a lot of research on that.
See, you're already ahead of the game. So the question becomes, do you need a master's degree to teach African history on the college university level? Because I'm assuming that's where you've done enough research to know that it's a college level job.
Oh yeah. So but I would either like you said, have to do private, like a private school, or I would have to teach on a higher level. So I can teach with a master's degree for a community college, but if I want to go higher up, I'm gonna have to get a PhD.
Really? I didn't realize that. I would have thought that the master's degree would have qualified you to teach African history, but it's got to be PhD just to teach on the college.
I may be mistaken, but from what I've seen in the colleges that I looked at around here, they want you to have a doctorate.
No, I get that. Okay. So how long would it take? So here's what I would do if I were you. While you are getting the doctorate or saving up money to be able to fund the doctorate, right? I'm getting real with you, Ryan. Mm-hmm. It would be awesome if you could get the master's, cash flow that, and then what you would do is teach on the junior college level, community college level, and maybe do some online teaching. See, online education is exploding. My wife's got a good friend who makes some really nice side money teaching Spanish online. So look into that direction as well, because that could fund the doctorate, because we're going to have to do this as we go and save and cash flow our way to get that doctorate, and then you step into it. Love that call. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. Don't move. If you are stuck, you have found the show for you. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. Thrilled to have you with us. Life's too short for you to be stuck to the point that you just try to make it from Monday morning to Friday afternoon. The average American is spending 90,000 plus hours at work over their lifetime. Yikes! Let's add to the fact that you are actually created to fill a unique role. That means you are needed. So you've got to do it. So how about I throw the duty on top of that? So it's not just about your meaning and your happiness and your satisfaction and your significance. It's about being who you were created to be on behalf of others. So that's why your purpose is a big deal. And we're here to help you figure that out. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 is the number. Hey, we'd love for you to connect with us on social media, putting out very encouraging and equipping content. Facebook.com/Ken Coleman Show, on Instagram at Ken Coleman, Twitter at Ken Coleman. 844-747-2577 is the number. To Seattle we go. Zach is on the line. Zach, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey there, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
So I've got about another year left of school, and I'm 35, so I'm a late college student, but I'm finally going to get my bachelor's. And I have two distinct career path options from what I can tell. I've had some interviews and some internships, and I feel like I'm pretty well set up, but I still have this big decision between two distinct paths.
Great. So tell me tell me the two paths first.
So they would both be in the construction industry, but it would be either working for a relatively small company where you get to do mostly residential, but a lot different facets of work as far as day-to-day work.
Mm-hmm.
So you're somewhere between a project manager and a superintendent someday if you're working on a small enough project.
Mm-hmm.
Or work for a big giant company, one of the big, you know, general contract, big international company or something, where you build hospitals and skyscrapers and such like that. But your particular scope of work is always real, real narrow until you get to the, you know, very top of the corporate ladder. Pay is a little better. Benefits are better. Stability is better when the market kind of fluctuates. You don't have the same fluctuations as you do in residential. They're more diversified. But, you know, it's further removed from actually building than the other side would be.
Yeah, what do you love? What do you want to do 10, 15 years from now? Let's forget these two options. Tell me what you'd love to mm-hmm. be doing.
So I think if I can find a way to, you know, pay for the lifestyle is historic preservation, rebuilding old homes, kind of chipping away at projects like that.
Yep.
I went back to school because I was starting down that path, but couldn't really find a way to do it that didn't feel like, you know, a real financially insecure, handyman, small business kind of a career.
Yeah, but you figured it out. So I love both of these options. The reason I asked you that question is because I think the decision before you is which one of these two paths. Both of them are good paths. Both of them have pros. Both of them probably have some cons, right? And so you're calling mm-hmm. me going, Ken, what do you think? And I'm not going to tell you what I think you should choose, because that's not going to help you. But I'm going to tell you what I think I would make it come down to, which one of these okay. is going to help you grow the most. And what I mean by grow the most is grow to a point that down the road, that dream of doing historic preservation, whether that be as a full-time gig because you've built up the reputation, right, with one side job here and one, you know, kind of that kind of deal, because you've gotten entrenched in the industry and you're known for that. So that's a legitimate business and you get paid pretty well to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to make you the most well-rounded? I always made my decisions on what I would go after early on in my broadcasting days on what would allow me to grow the most. And so I see a really clear choice here. Because the big general contractor is going to give you the benefits. You're probably going to make more money early on. I don't know if it's the winner in making money, though, depending on the specific small business contractor, because that you got some real room for growth there as well, just by the nature of it being small, and you can be very, very valuable there. And so the big fish in a small pond versus small fish big pond is the big question. But I don't think either one is a bad choice. And you know what else I like about this too, Zach? Let's say you take the big box construction company, and you do 2 years, and you're making good money and benefits, but you've been super, super laser focused on a task and you're kind of bored there. You can always make the jump from that to working more for a residential smaller contractor where you get to do something a little bit more versatile. So I just think that both are good choices, and I think you're okay either way.
And the order to do them in, if I'm going to pick one and see how it goes, to work for the big one first? That feels like the more natural move there.
Not for me personally, but I'm just telling you that if that's what you choose, then it's not like you've taken yourself out of the running to do the smaller business construction job because you got a really nice thing on your resume. So I don't think it's a bad choice. Okay, I'll tell you what I would do. If it were me, unless there's a massive discrepancy in the money that you're making, I would do the small business thing because I think you're going to get more experience and you're going to get a greater opportunity to grow in your craft.
That's what feels right. I just have a lot of, professors at school. They're kind of gearing us all towards working for the big companies. I hear a lot the other way, but it feels like I should do what's going to get me closer to that long-term, that idealized, lifestyle job, whatever.
Yeah, and you know what? Since we're talking about this, I don't think that the big box construction company with your premise that you said earlier is the safer, more stable job in a downturn. Because the guy who's got a small business and smaller staff, he doesn't have all that overhead. And he's probably got a lot more flexibility because he doesn't have to have five houses going at once. Maybe he does a couple kitchens. I'm going to tell you something. In Williamson County, in Nashville area here, any surrounding county in Nashville, you can make a ton of money just doing house renovation stuff. Kitchens, bathrooms, basements, home theaters. I mean, dude, it's ridiculous. So... Yeah. I just wouldn't buy the myth that the college professors try to drive in your head that you got to go work for the big box company. That's more about ego than it is success, in my opinion. So you were thinking the same thing I was. So yeah. I would trust your gut there. Either one's a good decision, but I would do what you're thinking. And it's all about setting yourself up for the long haul. So I want you all to understand that what I just walked Zach through, that's a really good exercise. Certainly when you have option A and option B, both options are solid options, and you're going, oh, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And you're going to get a lot of outside feedback. And it's been my experience that most feedback you're going to get on a fork in the road type situation is people are going to always give you what they think is the smartest, safest route. I said this before on the show, and it's worth repeating. Safe is not always smart. And in this situation, if he takes the big box thing, it's the safe bet. But is it the smart one? And I laid out the case why. So, and he was feeling the same thing. So this is what you have to do in your situation. What is the best decision now based on setting me up for the future that I want? That's always, I think, the ultimate decider. Both are good decisions in the now. What's the best decision now for the long-term goal? I don't think that question ever steers you wrong. Because it's not about just getting in. It's about getting in a place where I can grow. That's why one of the places in the proximity principle that I wrote the book is a place to grow. Get where there's a ladder. And that's a game changer. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you do matter. You do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruz Show.
Hey guys, it's Rachel Cruz, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck, they're in debt, they don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruz Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruz wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruz.com.